The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up, everybody, NBA fans? Welcome back to another episode of Full Court Press. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined by Joel. What's up, Joel?
What's up, everybody?
And we'll be joined by Juwan in a little bit, I believe. So we got a lot to talk about, man. We haven't had an episode in like 2 weeks, and like a bunch of crazy shit has happened, man.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah, this has probably been the most just frantic off season that I can ever remember. Like, last season was crazy because KD left, but I mean, you would think last season would have been like the one crazy year, and then this year would have kind of not been so just as crazy. But it's just like the smart teams have figured out how to just try to close the gap and keep things interesting.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Now it's the scramble. I knew that was. I had an idea everybody would react, you know. So everyone has to make moves. Not that anybody's made a move recently that can compete with the Warriors, but at least they're trying. You know, that's important, that they're trying.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's interesting, too, to see the dynamic of, you know, the teams that are trying versus the teams that have just given up. I mean, because, you know, I mean, I feel like there are a handful of teams that are trying to kind of retool and put things together to you know, make a legitimate contender. And then there's probably about the other half of the team, or I'd say about, there's about a third of those teams. Then there's about a third who are just trying to stay relevant. To stay decent so they can sell tickets, like your Sacramento Kings or like your Indiana Pacers. And then you got the other third of the teams that are just like, nah, dude, screw it. We're like Hawks. They're like, nah, we're done. We're gonna go into full tank mode and rebuild. But
retool.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's get started. The first kind of big news that dropped since our last show, and you know, obviously, you're a Knicks fan, Phil, out in New York City.
Yep.
Like, did you do anything to celebrate that announcement?
I didn't do anything in particular. I was sort of like relieved, but at the same, because I wasn't asking for his head or anything. But I'm like, if it happened, it happened. I wasn't going to be mad. But it still kind of felt like it came out of nowhere because I didn't think anything was going to happen. I thought we were going to have to write it out for the next 2 years. If anything, Melo would be first. And it looks like something happened that peed off Dolan. And he said, fuck it. We got to let him go. So they did. They bought him out. Phil is out now. He's in Montana chilling. And
yep.
We got Steve Mills running the show.
Yeah, and it's just interesting that the timing, like you said, like that they, you know, Dolan initially didn't choose to not pick up the option, Phil's option of the next 2 years, and then, you know, they negotiate a buyout later on. And yeah, I mean, obviously it had to have been something that happened. I think the wide speculation is he wanted to buy out Melo, and then with the Porzingis trade talk, like, it just kind of went a little too far. I think Dolan was always – like, Dolan and Melo have always seemed like they were pretty tight. Like, they're not – never been at odds with one another. And it kind of seems like Dolan was like, well, if you feel like you need to trade Melo, like, fine. But, you know, there's a difference between trading Melo and getting something in return versus just buying him out and then not getting jack shit in return and being left with a huge chunk of salary that you have to pay the man.
True. It's absolutely true. Well, either way, they're biting money. The money is raw, obviously not the issue. In the end, well, it looks like if they end up trading Melo, it might save them some money. It's much easier. I mean, you save money if you trade Melo more so than you buy him out. You know, that's
right.
For them, it sucks. For me, it really doesn't make a difference, except for the fact that we get no assets, and that part sucks, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Steve Mills. You know, we'll jump ahead a little bit and then go back to some more of the big trade stuff. So he picks up Tim Hardaway, $71 million. 4 years. I think this is a very interesting topic of conversation for both of us, you being a Knicks fan and me being a Hawks fan. I am happy as a Hawks fan that we did not match. Apparently, the Knicks outbid the Hawks by roughly $20 million. That's not to say there weren't other offers out there that, you know, closed that gap. But, I mean, if we... I wouldn't have wanted us to pay $5 million more a season than we wanted to pay for a particular guy. But just in general, what do you think of the Tim Hardaway Jr. signing?
I'm going to go in a different direction than most Knicks fans. I'm not going to say I love the move, but I don't hate it at all. Like, when I heard about it, I wasn't, like, super upset or anything. I'm like, in the beginning, I honestly thought, I'm like, oh, well, that was them doing a favor or some shit, trying to get him a big contract, and they'd go from there. Hold on. Anyway, I think Hardaway is a good move for them. I like Hardaway. I didn't want to lose Hardaway, but they traded him anyway, and then we got Jerry in, and then we kept him for like a year, and then used him in a trade to get Rose. Now we're going to let Rose walk, and we signed him for $71 million. Now that sounds ridiculous. And it is. But I still like Hardaway. It's not my money, and I do eventually think we're getting rid of contracts in Melo and Courtney Lee. So in that regard, I'm not as upset about it. I'm more upset about the Noah deal than I am the Hardaway Jr. deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, those deals don't even come close to comparing as far as just output versus monetary gain.
Right.
But yeah, I can see that. Like, I don't think it's a particularly good signing for them being in the position they're in. But it does show that they're trying to put the pieces together on their roster to try to compete. I put it this way. I like it better than bringing Rose back at the same contract, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
totally.
So, I mean, and, you know, I might have tried to go after Caldwell Pope. I think he's a little bit better than Hardaway. He's probably a little better defender. They're probably equal about as far as scoring the basketball and shooting. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do at point guard, because now they still need somebody to start for them at point guard. So it'll be interesting to see how they close things.
They need a vet point guard. You're right.
Mm-hmm. The next big domino to fall was the CP3 opts into his deal to get traded to Houston. That one was crazy. I mean, it came together really fast. Like, all the talk, all like leading up to the free agency period was San Antonio, and then Houston pops up like 2 or 3 days before it happens, and then it's just like bang, 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 and it happens. What are your thoughts? Yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts on the trade, you know, for Houston, for the Clippers, and for Chris Paul?
I didn't like the idea of it at first, because I'm like, I heard Chris Paul going to Houston. I'm like, I don't know if that's a great fit. I'd rather just stay in LA. But then it just happened, and I had no choice over the matter. So I was like, okay, that's going to happen. That's whatever, sure. At least the Clippers got something back. You know, they got Beverly. They got
Sam Decker, yeah, Lou Williams. They got some good players
right.
back,
oh, yeah.
and they got a draft pick.
You're right, and they got some decent players back. So they didn't get nothing, which they could have because he could have just walked if he wanted to. But
yeah.
that was nice of him for that to work out. But Houston, you know, that was their statement. They're like, we got Chris Paul and we have James Harden. Even
mm-hmm.
though at first, if you look at it, it's like they're kind of not similar players because James Harden is the scorer. Paul is the passer, you know. But
yeah, but they're similar in how they seem to operate with having ball dominance, yeah.
Right, and that's the thing. They took James Harden and they moved him on the ball permanently because he was the guy, I think he led the league in assists, right?
Yeah, he did.
That's what I'm saying. Now you're going to move him off the ball. Chris Paul's going to dominate the ball. He's going to be the man, right, in terms of that part. And they're going to leave James Harden off the ball again. I'm like, it's like reverse of what they did last year, sort of. I mean, they'll probably share time. I'm just saying, and it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, not that they don't complement each other. I guess they kind of do, but at the same time, they don't. You know, I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I kind of feel the same way as you do. I think for the Clippers, it's a pretty good deal because you get some pieces in return instead of losing CP3 for nothing.
Right.
And now you really get to say, okay, like we're going to team around Blake, which, you know, if he can stay healthy, might work. Now that is a big if. But as far as for Chris Paul, I really like it because what Chris Paul was able to engineer by opting in and you know, negotiating a trade per the agreement that he opts in, he was able to transfer his bird rights to Houston. And now he's eligible, if he wants to, he can sign an extension with Houston. And then he gets even more money because you're talking about no state tax versus 13% state tax. So he basically gets to have his cake and eat it too with the way this whole thing shook out.
All right.
And then furthermore, you know, he can also wait and see how things go if he wants to go that route and doesn't want to get the immediate extension. You know, he can wait, see how things go, and if it all works out, then resign. Or if it doesn't, you know, Melo can opt out next year. D. Wade's a free agent. LeBron's a free agent. I mean, they can
do the thing that
they've always talked. Yeah, they can do it if they want to. And they can find a team that can, you know, basically miss – has the ability to give them at least close to what they what they're worth. You know, I mean, it's going to take a team with a lot of cap space, basically. But yeah,
right.
I mean, it's interesting. It'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm with you as far as Houston. I'm not sold on it. I'm not saying that it's not going to work. But the thing that does work about it is that Chris Paul is probably the best defensive point guard in the NBA. So you're not going to miss a beat as far as bringing him in in exchange for Beverly. So, you know, his defensive-minded play is going to transition seamlessly. What will be interesting is how they work out sharing the ball. Because I feel like, honestly, the way that I feel like it should work is that basically, when CP2 rests, James Harden runs the point and gets the ball in his hands. And then when they're both on the floor together, and obviously vice versa for CP3 when he's on the floor and Harden's resting. But then when they're both on the floor together, they're just going to have to work out a way to share the ball. And I would probably say that I don't really care who has the ball until it's the fourth quarter, and at which point I would give it to Chris Paul. Because I think Chris Paul is more clutch fourth quarter player than Harden by at least a little bit. Statistically, he's a better 3-point shooter. He's probably one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. He's obviously a better ball handler. Like you can throw out the assist numbers for Harden, but you also got to take into account that he led the league in turnovers. In fact, he had the most turnovers by any one player ever last year, and Chris Paul does not turn the ball over. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it all works. But, yeah, I mean, if they can figure it out, it will be amazing. But it'll definitely take a lot of work between Paul and Harden to, like, get it to all tie together.
Right. And it's about building that team, too. So they added P.J. Tucker. I like that move. That was a good get for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They still have Ariza. They have Brian Anderson. They re-signed Nene. They still have Capella. I'm not sure what else other moves they made. But, I mean, they made a lot of
weird moves.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it to this point. And I think the reports are they're still trying to see if they can get Melo, but nobody wants to take Ryan Anderson's contract. Because Ryan Anderson, like, the thing is, he's a really good player for Houston. Like, there's not many other teams that other particular team that it's worth paying him that amount of money for the production that you get from him. So
that's the problem. It's not so much him. It's the money he's making.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that he only fits a very particular style of play at that amount of money anyway. In fact, like, the only team that I could see really like wanting him, which would be really weird to see, is Oklahoma City, because Patrick Patterson was a really good signing, but he's a bench guy. He's not like, I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with him as a starter. And like, they could definitely use the shooting, because they still need shooters at both the two and the four, in my opinion, to surround, you know, their two stars. I think the best scenario that I can see as far as like a three-way trade is to get Melo, is to send maybe Courtney Lee Ryan Anderson to OKC, and then move everything around where the Rockets get Melo, and then the Knicks get future assets, expiring contracts, things of that nature.
Yeah, I actually like that move. That's a good one, Nick.
Yeah, I'm always plotting. So that kind of transitioned us right into the kind of third big trade that kicked off the free agency period. Fucking PG-13 to OKC. Like, I think as the CP3 to Houston trade was like came out of nowhere, this was probably the biggest trade to come out of nowhere, right?
Literally out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, because we had inklings of him going to Houston. We had no heads up that he was going to fucking OKC. Out of nowhere.
No. Yeah, I mean, it was literally crazy. And then, like, to top it off, like, I could kind of see it working. The OKC didn't really have draft picks to bargain with. But what I figured, like, when I initially heard the trade, I kind of figured I saw the two players. I figured maybe they threw in, the Chicago 2018 second rounder, because that's going to be pretty valuable. It's probably going to be like 35th, somewhere in that neighborhood as far as the number overall pick that it is. And maybe even they threw in the rights to like Terrence Ferguson. That was kind of where my head, like, breaking down, when I initially heard, the specs of who was being talked about as far as, the initial reports coming out, because oftentimes when they announce like an initial report for a trade, there's other things that they don't throw in there. That's like what happened with the CP3 trade to Houston. So, I figured, there'd be some other parts, but to find out that it was just Oladipo and Sabonis. Oh my God, dude. That's like the steal of the century, man.
And considering all the rumors of all the moves and all the deals they had at the draft, and they end up walking away with Oladipo, and I mean, that's terrible for them. I mean, like, what the hell?
Yeah, the only thing that I can really come up with, and I've heard a few other people say it as well, is they didn't want to move him to a team in the East. They didn't want to move him to a team in the East, which, because obviously they could have gotten Kevin Love for him. Obviously, you know, if they had just waited for Boston to sign Hayward, I think Boston would have given them a better offer. I think they didn't want to move him to a team in the East, and the Lakers weren't offering enough to make them happy. I think what they got is about equal with them getting They had their choice of Randall or Clarkson plus the number 27 and number 28 pick. I think that's what the Lakers were offering, if I recall correctly. And this is about probably about equal, close to, when you look at what they need and everything else. And I think part of it has just got to be they were like, Paul George, like, we're going to not only are we not going to trade you to where you want to go, we're not going to trade you to a contender, and we're going to trade you to an even smaller market.
Good luck. That's basically what they said to him.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, for OKC, to me, it's like, obviously, I think Indiana made a mistake. I mean, I really think that had they just waited a little bit, I don't see how this OKC deal isn't still on the table, like, a month later, you know what I mean? Like, because of it's not an overly complicated deal. It's not relying on time to be able to make the deal. I don't know why you wait till after the Hayward signing and try to work something out with Boston. Just try to drive up the price a little bit more. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously Oladipo is an Indiana guy, so maybe that offers some – maybe they think they can sell some tickets off that, you know, like.
Sure. I mean, I can see that happening.
Yeah, that's what I said. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to rationalize it at this point, man.
I like Sabonis, though. Like, he has some upside, so, I mean, there's something there, but he needs a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Well, and now you have what? You have Sabonis, who still needs to develop. You have TJ Leaf, who you just drafted, who needs to develop, who plays the same position. And then you have Thaddeus Young, who, I mean, I guess you could try to play him at the three, but that seems precarious.
He hasn't played three in, like, 4 years.
Yeah, but they don't really have anybody else. I mean, the only other person they have who's probably, like, played – NBA minutes is what, Glenn Robinson III?
Lance Stevenson.
Oh yeah, that's true. Stevenson can play a little bit of three. He usually actually plays best though at the point when they have him distributing, when they have him bringing up the ball, is where I kind of like him the best.
I agree. But then now I play the two now with he was two before, but now Monte Ellis is gone. They brought him out, and they brought in Darren Collison. I'm like, not really sure what they're doing, but they're doing something.
Yeah,
they traded
right.
CJ Miles
for Corey Joseph, who's another point guard. So, I mean, maybe they're just trying to stack up some reasonable assets that they can try to piece together in some kind of trade later down the road to, you know, help give them more of what they need. Because, I mean, both what they signed Darren Collison for is a very good deal for that team. I don't remember exactly what the terms of the contract were, but I remember they were pretty team-friendly. And I know Corey Joseph's on a pretty team-friendly deal. I think he's got 2 years, $20 million left or somewhere in that range, maybe even less. It might be like $14 million, in fact. I mean, both of those are team-friendly. You know, if you got a few young assets, you want to try to build around Oladipo, I guess give it a shot. But just seems like they pulled the trigger a little too soon. But as far as OKC, like, this is simply just, to me, like, just such a brilliant move. Because Oladipo you weren't getting the amount of productivity out of him that you were hoping you were going to get. You had signed him to an extension, which is crazy because, you know, last year or earlier this year, rather, you know, when it was kind of clear that he and Russ just weren't kind of working, he's not really a great shooter, Oladipo. He just didn't do enough. When they had to put the ball in his hands for Russ to rest, it didn't seem to really work out. So I was like, man, they're going to really regret that extension. But because they signed that extension, it made this trade all the more easy, because if they hadn't, they would have had to gotten him to agree to a sign and trade to go to Indiana, which means it would have rested on him to agree to that trade. And I don't think he would have agreed to that trade. So,
yeah.
So again, man, like I don't, the management at OKC, I mean, that they traded Harden. But at the time, you know, the revenue wasn't what it is now, and they were worried about luxury tax and all that, you know. And, you know, people forget that, you know, Kevin Martin was a really damn good player when they acquired him, and he actually played really well the first year. He just fell off a mountain after that.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sam Presti just kind of continues to – For the majority of what he does, like from the most of their draft picks and most of their trades have been genius. And like, this is another one, like maybe it doesn't work out between Russ and PG. I think it's almost like a match made in heaven personally, because it, you know, at least here, you don't have the argument of who's the better player that they kind of always had between Russ and KD. Like, Russ is obviously the better player, but you're getting him somebody who's a two-way player, you know, on that kind of talent threshold of a KD. He's not as good as KD, but he ain't far from it.
Right.
I just think they're going to work out. And I think it's just – I think it's going to work out great for this season and maybe for longer. I mean, you never know. Maybe. He might decide, dude, we finished with the – like two seed, and you know, we took Golden State to six games. You know, it just, you don't know what's going to happen. And if it doesn't work out and he leaves, you've at least cleared the cap space of Victor Oladipo's contract.
Yeah, they have room for other signings, and I think they still need to make another move or two to be a little better than they were last year. I mean, they're going to be better, I think, automatically with Paul George, but they want to make a real threat. They want to be a threat next year. They really need to at least one more piece.
Yeah, I was thinking actually, as far as, you know, from my Hawks perspective, I would probably give up Marco Bellinelli for Chicago's second rounder next year. I don't know how exactly. Yeah, I mean, Bellinelli's good, and he's on an expiring contract. It's only worth about like $6.3 million. So I'm sure they could work out the salary, being that it's such a cheap contract, and that would be a good shooter to put at the two in between, you know, Russ and Paul George. But you're right, they need somebody at that two, because right now they got their rookie Terrence Ferguson and they got Abrines, who they brought up last year, but he didn't really play a whole lot of minutes. The verdict, I think, is really still out on him as far as whether he's going to be a legitimate NBA player or not. Or you can play Robertson, but that motherfucker can't shoot to save his life.
But he's a good perimeter defender. They're going to need him for his goal state.
Yeah, and I think, well, what I think will be interesting is, because Robertson's not only, like, a really good defender, but he's also really big and strong. Like, he's probably, maybe he might only be, like, 6'7", but, like, he's built. Like, he's stacked. Like, I think you could get away with playing like him and George interchangeably at the three and four in certain lineups, depending on what the, you know, what you're going up against. But I really think they need like another, but I really think they need another shooter at the two, like, or Abrines has to take a huge leap forward.
I'm telling you, I'm cool with that trade of getting Ryan Anderson and Courtney Lee. That ties up some spots for them. That adds some firepower for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that would be a really cool trade. The only thing is, I don't know, like, I don't know if they would want to take on the length of the contracts, because then that takes away the flexibility that they've gained with the deal. But, you know, if you want to keep Russ, you want to keep PG-13, you know, hey, at least Courtney Lee and Ryan Anderson give you two shooters to complement two superstars, and then you got a defensive, like, workhorse, you know, in the paint for you in Steven Adams. And, you know, that ain't a bad lineup. I'm just saying.
No, not at all.
Indeed. So the other kind of big free agency trade was Rubio to Utah. I thought this trade was really interesting for a number of reasons. Obviously, Utah wanted to try to be able to pay Joe Ingles, keep Hayward, and they couldn't do that if they paid George Hill as well, because that was just going to be too much money. So, you know, they have to give up OKC's 2018 pick, but, you know, you're probably looking at, especially now, what's that going to be, like 23, 24, 25, somewhere in there. It's not going to be super great. And they get Rubio, who's a good pass-first point guard. And then, you know, for Minnesota, you know, they free up that space and are able to go out and get Jeff Teague and some other pieces. I think this was a really good trade for both teams, honestly.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it's a great move for them. I don't hate it, that's for damn sure. But, what's the one we're talking about again?
Rubio going to Utah. Oh,
I knew that. All right, so yeah, Utah. Yeah, I feel bad for them losing George Hill, and George Hill ended up picking the Sacramento Kings, I don't know what happened there. But they
offered him the most money.
Yeah, it's the money. I did not expect it. I did not expect that. Caught me off guard completely. I'm like, really? What? I get it. I guess so. That's what happened.
Yeah, you were a big proponent of the Knicks getting Hill, weren't you?
I did. I thought he'd make, you know, I guess he did the same thing, but in Sacramento. And that's basically what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think that he's a good role model for a point guard. I think he would have been a good role model for a Fox, which he's going to be. I would have liked him with Ntilikina, but he ended up going to Sacramento. They paid him more money. They ended up after that going after Zebo. And then, of course, picking up Vince Carter. So they're doing something over there inside. At least they're making moves. They have nice youth and some decent veterans. And Utah, Ricky Rubio is a nice complement to what they got going on in Utah. They can Exum in there, because he's been playing good in the summer league. So I really like him.
Yeah,
I think Exum has upside, man.
Yeah, and he's versatile, man. He's super athletic. He's like 6'5". You can play him at the one or the two. And, you know, I just don't think, like, a lot of people have already kind of deemed him a bust, and I can't blame him.
Right.
I can't blame people for that. I mean, he has not done anything of value on an NBA floor yet. But, man, he's just got all the intangibles, and Utah has one of the best coaching staffs. Like, I feel like with the Hayward departure, that having him come in there is going to be really huge as far as, you know, for him, it'll give him at least the opportunity to take that next step. And and Rodney Hood as well. Like, Rodney Hood actually has shown a lot of potential on the NBA floor. And I think he could step up and kind of make that next step. And I think you'll get more of Joe Johnson. You'll get more of, you know, the Joe Johnson that we saw in the playoffs. Yeah, throughout the season. I mean, call me crazy, but I think Utah's still a playoff team. I don't think losing Gordon Hayward means they're not a playoff team anymore.
They were doing good when he was out. He was out for like the first quarter of the season last year, and they were doing pretty good without him. So they could do it. You know, they have the ability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't trust, because there's probably, what, five teams that in the West that would be probably a lock. And then, you know, six, seven, and eight are kind of all up for grabs in between, like, Utah, the Clippers, the Pelicans, Denver, and Timberwolves are a lock, the Trailblazers. So you got, like, 10 teams that, you know, or five teams, rather, that are vying for those three spots. And, you know, I don't know if I trust the Clippers to stay healthy, and I'm not necessarily sold on what they're doing in New Orleans. So I'm sorry, what?
I said, or Denver. I'm not really sure what they're doing in Denver.
Yeah, Denver is interesting, man. Like, Denver, well, we'll get to that in a second. So, so let's just go. Let's run down. I just want to kind of, I'll bring up kind of the big names that have stayed put, and then we'll go over some of the big names that have moved on, and we'll just kind of have like an open-ended conversation about it. So Griffin, Blake, he stays put with the Clippers, signs a 5-year max deal, big for him. Holiday, Jrue Holiday, he signs a huge contract to stay with the Pelicans. Kyle Lowry, another guy, stays with Toronto along with Ibaka. Lowry signed a huge contract. It was, what, like $100 million over 3 years, I think. That's a fatty contract for him. Iguodala and Livingston both stay put, along with Steph and KD, but we knew Steph and KD were going to stay. And Mills. Patty Mills, really underrated point guard. I'm glad that San Antonio was able to keep him. I think the Spurs – It happens often with the Spurs, and it sometimes happens with the Hawks too, which I think is kind of an interesting parallel, that they find players who fit their system really well, and then when they come up for free agency, they take a big deal with another team, and they don't ever, like, they're not as good on that other team. You know, they don't ever meet the expectation that the other team has because they just fit the system so well. And I look at Patty Mills like that. I think he just fits San Antonio's system so well. And I think to me, he's like right there in line to be the successor for Tony Parker.
Who, Mills, you said?
Patty Mills.
I like Patty Mills. He's a spark plug, man, you know? Mm-hmm. I think he led like Team Australia in scoring during the Olympics the year before. Mm-hmm. So, and that, he's a little guy who could put it up. And I think he's underrated. San Antonio, they've been relatively quiet. They haven't made any real big moves. They just signed Joffrey LaVerne from Chicago. They made him a free agent recently. Yeah, he just signed there with San Antonio. Settled anything with Simmons yet? I think he's still
no,
out there.
No, they haven't. And I find that a little concerning. Like, now, he is a restricted free agent, so they can match anything that's thrown at him. So that's promising. But, see, he's kind of like another one of those guys to me, like Patty Mills. Like, I don't know if he is nearly as productive for another team as he is for the Spurs.
True. I don't disagree with that. Even though, he has talked to other teams. I think he could be a valuable piece. Like, if the Knicks went out and tried to get him, I don't know if it's about – I don't know about 17 fucking million, but, you know, if they go out and get him for a decent price, I'd take him for sure. You know what I mean? It's just, he's there. You know, San Antonio, they signed Rudy Gay. I'm not sure if that's going to be a starter. I don't know if that's going to work. I mean, off the bench, probably as a high-powered bench player. I guess that makes sense, too. I mean,
you got to figure, too, he's going to be out for the first half of the season with his injury. So I think they signed him simply to be like a sixth man for when he gets back from his injury, and I think that's a perfect role for him. I think that had somebody tried to sign him to be like a starter, he wouldn't have been able to start at the beginning of the season, and B, you'd be having to change your whole chemistry midway through the season when he can come back, whereas if he's just coming off the bench – you just work him into his bench role 20, 25 minutes a game so you can keep his minutes down because you don't want to run him too many minutes, and you know Pop is going to do that. I think it's a really good move. I loved it. I love the Rudy Gay move. I think it's honestly kind of highly underrated. It's really kind of flown under the radar as far as them. Obviously, the Warriors keeping Iguodala and Livingston is huge. I'm glad Iggy got his contract, man. I'm glad he got paid. I was worried that, man, that they weren't going to pay him and he was going to have to walk. I was honestly kind of hoping that he would walk just
Me
so
too.
They wouldn't be. What's that?
I said, me too. I was like, please, just go anywhere. Take some firepower.
Yeah, anywhere else.
Away.
Yeah, go to Philly, man. Like, yeah, the thing is, like, with the money, like, Philly that wasn't wanting to give the years, but, like, what he made, $48 million over 3 years, I believe, was the terms of his contract. I guarantee you Philly would have paid him at least half of that for 1 year, you know?
True. They probably would. I mean, like, he could have got paid.
I mean, they paid J.J. Redick $23 million for 1 year, so. That's only $24 million. Yeah, they'd have paid Iggy 24 for 1 year, I bet.
They got paid. It was only for 1 year though. That's, so it's not like it's gonna kill them right now.
Yeah, well that's why it was a smart move. Both Redick and Amir Johnson. What do you think about what Toronto's doing? I mean, they bring back Lowry, they bring back Ibaka, which I think they kinda had to. I mean, I think they way overpaid Lowry. They had to keep him. That was the thing. Like, they had to keep him. And not only did they have to keep him, but they had to keep him happy. Like, you couldn't, you never want to be in a position where you're like trying to lowball. You don't want to be in the position of Dwayne Wade, like of Miami with Dwayne Wade, you know, because that was the thing with them. Like, he was already pissed off about taking less money the year before that he left. Like, he took the less money, and then when it came time for him to get paid, they kind of balked at it again, and then he left and went to Chicago. So, like, you don't just want to keep a guy, you want to keep a guy happy. So I understand that. But I still think 99, like, $33 million a year, and you're seeing the kind of pitfalls of that, because now, was it last night or the night before? So they trade Damari Carroll to Brooklyn along with what their next year's first round pick, and then I've seen a lot of the reports that say their 2018 second rounder as well. They don't own their 2018 second rounder. Phoenix does in that PJ Tucker trade from last year, but they do own, or they did. I'm thinking, the 2018 second round pick from either Orlando or the Lakers, less favorable of those two. So I think that is what went to the Nets. And then they trade today or yesterday, they traded, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Corey Joseph to Indiana for CJ Miles. So just taking all of that in, I mean, what do you think about what Toronto is doing right now? Are they making good moves, or are they making desperate moves?
They're not desperate, but they're definitely not. I don't know. They're kind of running in place, in my opinion, because they really didn't. They pretty much stayed the same. They brought in Ibaka. They brought back a lot of those are important pieces, important players to their team. They kept that, I guess, core, if you want to call them a core. They let Patterson walk. You know, they had to replace that shooting. They got rid of Damari Carroll, who lost his role last year with the team as he was the starting wing. And he's kind of been inconsistent with them because he hasn't really
injury prone, too.
Yeah, he was hurt. Yeah. So that's what happened there. They make the trade to get CJ Miles, and that helps their shooting. That helps them long range. They're going to go long range and. I mean, they weren't a terrible shooting team. They weren't a great shooting team. This helps a lot. I guess he moves to the three and he starts at the three. I'm not sure if that's the case. Onunobi, right?
Yeah.
OG Onunobi. It's gonna be a while till we see him on the floor, but that'll hold him out till he gets back, you know. And I think he'll be going forward.
Yeah, and he'll still need some time to kind of be groomed and everything. But honestly, when I first heard the Carroll trade, I was like, wow, you're giving up a lot to dump a $30 million contract over 2 years. Yeah. I just feel like giving up a first and a late first-round pick, but then the second-round pick is a quality second-round pick. So giving up both of those things just to move a $30 million contract, like, man, I was kind of pissed, honestly, that my Hawks didn't jump on that fucking deal. Like, dude, I'll send you. Yeah. I'll send you Diamond Stone and, like, to, you know, his $1.5 million a year. Well, I mean, the guy that they took from Washington, what's his name? Is it Hamilton, I think. He is $3 million. So, like, it would have saved him another $1.5 million, and they're both expiring contracts. But, yeah, I would have loved to have brought DeMar Carroll back to Atlanta, man. He could, because Carroll can play the four. Like, he's only 6'8", but with small ball and everything, he can play the four. And we still, yeah. And so, like, I just think it would have been, like, just a smart trade. I love the trade for the Nets. I think it's just brilliant. In fact, I really like what they're doing in Brooklyn. Like, if you ask me who would I rather be right now, like a Brooklyn fan or a Knicks fan, I'd probably rather be a Brooklyn fan, honestly.
Yeah, that's on you, all right? I'm making that choice.
Well, and the thing that sucks is they still got another year before they can see any sort of real benefits
they still owe Boston another fucking draft pick. Go out and go get Contavious Caldwell-Pope. He's an unrestricted free agent now, you know?
It's true, but with the Carroll trade, I don't know how much cap space they have left. So
that's true. I didn't think – how much money
– imagine that – Carroll, he's fit about $15 million, and they only gave up three, so there's a net 12 gain, basically. So I mean, they might be able to get him. I don't know what he's looking for. I know he turned down an $80 million contract though.
Which is crazy.
Because that was that was an offer sheet that was on the table, and he was like, "Nah, I'm good, son. 4 years, $80 million. No, I'm all right." So,
what's
I don't
max?
Know what. No, max is what they offered Otto Porter, is like 106.5.
Yeah, his would be smaller though, right? It'd be like 102 or some shit.
No, I'd be about the same. They've been in the league about the same amount of time.
Have they? Yeah, probably. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, they have. So like, yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting. I'll be very interested to see where Caldwell Pope signs. A lot of Hawks fans, there's been, like, this kind of rumbling about him, you know, us trying to go out and sign him. But my only thing with that is, like, that's, like, the one position we don't need. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to say he's not better than any of our shooting guards, because he is. I don't think he's that much better. I don't think he's that much better than Bazemore. Bazemore had a really bad year last year, but, like, Bazemore's not a terrible player. He's got a terrible contract. I just don't know. Like, that's the whole reason that we didn't want to pay Tim Hardaway, because we didn't want to have two players at the same position making the same money who, you know, when neither one of them is great.
Right, exactly. And then they play – them playing the three is more out of position than a good fit, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that'll be interesting to say the least. Drew Holiday, like Lowry is definitely overpaid a little bit, in my opinion. Drew Holiday is insanely overpaid, in my opinion. You're talking about a guy who – Would you say he's one of the 20 best point guards in the NBA?
Who, Drew Holiday?
Yeah. Maybe.
When he's healthy, I say yeah.
Okay.
Problem is when he's
fair healthy. Enough. Right. Yeah, and that's the thing in a nutshell is, like, he's always had trouble staying healthy. And, you know, I don't know if we'll see if he can stay healthy. And now I realize that, you know, they didn't have any money to try and go out and get somebody who's better than him. I think they had maybe about $12 million if they had let him walk. So if they would have had to renounce their rights to him. So I get it. I get why you have to sign him. But just for that much money, is just ridiculously crazy to me.
Yeah, I know, but that was one of those, like, we gotta do all right by our guy, or he'll walk. And that's basically what's gonna happen.
But was he gonna walk? Like, where? Who do you think would have offered him anywhere close to that amount of money? This reminds me of like an Allen. Yeah, this reminds me of like an Allen Houston thing.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
That nobody else is going to give him, you know? And
yeah.
That's just the thing to me. Like, I agree with doing right by your players, but, like, that kind of contract was just crazy. Like, I think it was – I think Lowry, you know, maybe is about 10, 15 too much for him.
Yeah.
But not – and because it's 3 years, it gives him more flexibility. Talking about what was his, a five-year – with a player option and, like, what, $25 million a year, I believe it was. I think it was a $126 million contract for 5 years with a player option. Like, you're giving a lot to that. You're giving a lot to the player right there. Like, I feel like you should rein back on one of those things, make the fifth year a team option, or trim that contract by about $20 million, or – you know, make it a 3-year deal. You know, like, something's got to give there. But to me, that's why the Pelicans are just, they're such a garbage team, man. I hate to say it, but.
I get it. I don't know what else they need. They still need more moves. They can't stay the way they are. They need way
more.
No. You know?
A lot.
Right now, they can't. Yeah, I mean, they're living off of what they made last year with who they signed last year. What's his name?
Solomon Hill and Antoine Moore.
Yes, Antoine Moore and Solomon Hill. They were disappointing. I mean, like, that was a lot of money to give to Solomon Hill. Like, who was thinking about giving Solomon Hill that kind of money? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it was $44 million over 4 years, which isn't like an obscene contract or anything, but it's just like you're not getting like almost any production out of them. But see, that's the thing. That's what New Orleans does. They give people who should be making like $4 million a year, like $11 million a year. And like, if you do that enough times, it completely annihilates your cap, and then you don't even have anything to show for it. Like, if anything, like, that's probably their bigger problem than the Drew Holiday thing, for the fact that they have Etwan Moore on their books for $8+ million for the next 3 years, Solomon Hill for $11+ million for the next 3 years, Omar Asik for right around $11 million for 2 more years. Like, that shit adds up, man, and that's just not a good position to be in. You don't want to be the team that over it's subpar guys. We're not even talking like mediocre guys.
Asik, that contract is ass. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
right. I mean, he had his moments, but then they definitely overpaid for him.
Oh yeah, well it was classic case of like, dude falls off after signing new huge contract. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because you're
exactly.
right, he played well for them as recently as maybe like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He was really good. Because I think – I could be mistaken, but I think they got him from – I want to say Washington. He hadn't always played for them, I don't think.
He was on Houston. He was on Chicago.
Okay, gotcha. But, yeah, so he played well for a little bit, but I think a big thing with him is injuries too. And just the league changing and, you know, the culmination of everything has kind of fucked him over. But yeah, hey, I guess good on Holiday for getting paid. Like, at least hopefully he can stay healthy and he can, you know, help them compete for the playoffs. But yeah, they got to figure out something else, because they're still missing two or three pieces as far as even just, I feel like, making the eighth seed. Unless they just want Boogie and the Brow to do it all. Like, and that's going to be tough. You know what's interesting, though? I did hear that Alvin Gentry wants to run DeMarcus Cousins as a point center this year.
What the what?
Well, he's a really good passer. Kind of like what Denver does with Nikola Jokic, where they put him up at the top of the key, so he can kind of see everything and like try to hit people. But like that sounds all great, and he's actually a good 3-point shooter now. Like I think he shot like 36-37% last year or something. So he's actually a pretty good 3-point shooter. But that only works if you have wings to pass it to. Like Denver has a ton of wings that, you know, that can shoot the ball. I mean, yeah, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Hernan Gomez, Wilson Chandler, like people who can shoot, that, you know, New Orleans just doesn't have any of that. So I think that's a brilliant move for Cousins. I'm not sure how it's going to work though, because of the lack of assets they have around them, if they don't, you know, do anything else, which I guess they have their exceptions that they can use, but I don't know who's really left on the board. So it'll be tricky. I think unfortunately for them, they're probably doomed for the lottery yet again. And then I think Cousins will probably walk, and I wouldn't blame him one bit. Because, like, I mean, it's great. It's all fine and good playing with Anthony Davis, but you're basically playing with a guy who is just like you. and it's, you want to play with guys who compliment you, not guys who play just like you. So, which, hey, we could be saying that about Harden and CP3, at least offensively.
Exactly.
But, that'll be fun to check out. Okay, so this most of the players, you know, the big players who stayed put. But as far as the players who moved, we got Hayward going to Boston. I think that's probably just the biggest one. Millsap to Denver, Gallinari to the Clippers. We talked about Gay to the Spurs. Teague to Minnesota, as well as Gibson, Taj Gibson, PJ Tucker to Houston, and then Redick to Philadelphia. I don't think you ever wavered in thinking Hayward was going to Boston, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Because I remember there at the end, I was a little nervous because I wanted it to happen, but I was starting to, like, get my doubts, especially after the Paul George trade, because, you know, then you know, they couldn't really sell him on the, okay, well, we're going to sign you, and then we're going to go get Paul George, and then we're going to compete for, you know, championship. I just thought it opened the doors up a little bit more for Miami to kind of make a play, and even for Utah to bring him back. Like, why were you so sold on it? What the hell insider information do you have, Joel?
I have nothing. I just was confident because I felt like he was going there regardless of Paul George's move or whatever. So I was okay. I just never thought he would. If either he stayed in Utah or he went to Boston. That's where I was thinking. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought he'd go anywhere else. Even though people said Miami, I never believed that. Yeah, that's just where I was at mentally.
Yeah, the one thing that I found intriguing about Miami is, like, you at least know that Pat Riley is always going to compete. Like, when they were talking about last year the Heat were gonna, you know, try to rebuild and everything, and basically Pat Riley came out and was like, nah, son, fuck that. Like, I ain't about this rebuilding shit. Like, I'm pissed that we missed the playoffs by one game. Like, that's just Pat Riley. Like, Pat Riley does not want to wait. Like, he wants to compete. And so it's nice to have a GM who, yep.
And they have a good coach and decent pieces. Yeah. And now they're back in it. I mean, they're not great or anything, but they're decent, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're a quality team. They got a GM who wants to win. The biggest thing that I felt like they had against them is they don't have a second round pick for like the next five seasons because of that like mentality from Pat Riley, and they don't own their 2018 or 2021 first round pick. So you're essentially relying on you're simply relying on free agency in order to be able to compete. And if you're looking at that as a player, I feel like you have to sit back and like crunch those numbers and be like, well, if I sign there and they re-sign Waiters, they have Dragic, they have Whiteside, you know, that's not enough to win, and we don't have any like real draft picks coming in. Like, that's just a lot, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's why they got Deion Waiters. They're trying to get James Johnson, and they got to build
mm-hmm.
what they got. I get that. They're gonna build around that. Adebayo is looking really good in summer league, so that turned out. That could turn out to be a good pick, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see who's going to have the better year, Adebayo or Collins, because John Collins is looking really good for the Hawks in summer league.
He had a good one, too. Yeah, I forgot about that. I didn't get to see it, but I heard about it.
Yeah, I got to watch it today, and, man, the Hawks kicked the shit out of the Bulls. Like, it wasn't even close. And I was like, I was sitting there watching, like, the Bulls were just, like, garbage, man. Like, and I was like, man, y'all just got all these, like, this
young players
squad. Yeah, like that's what y'all have been like, you know, all hyped about and whatnot. And dude, it was not working. Like it was weird. It was like watching a game on a neighborhood pickup game where like you just go play at the park with people and like nobody knows each other.
Yeah.
So no one knows how to play together. So everyone's just trying to get their own buckets, you know? Yeah, and it was just sloppy, and like, you know, at least the Hawks are trying to play like a team. Like we missed a shit ton of shots too, because that's what happens in summer league. But we're kind of operating like a team. I think what are your thoughts as far as, you know, where do you think Boston goes now? You know, so they've gotten Hayward. They obviously had to trade Bradley to get that, so they got Morris back. They just signed Baines, center from Detroit from last year, for like a $4 million-ish contract. So they've got Hayward. They were able to keep all their assets, so they didn't trade anything. Like, do you give any credence to this Marc Gasol stuff?
I not yet. I don't think so. Not just yet. I don't think he bails until maybe, unless Memphis falls flat on their face this year, which is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, but it's possible. I don't think he's moving just yet. I think it's too soon to think about Marc Gasol even quite yet. I mean, maybe in the future it's possible, but as of right now, I don't believe it.
I just, my thing is, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I just don't see how the numbers stack up. Like in any way, shape, or form, I don't know who you would have. I mean, you would just have to trade like your whole roster, pretty much. How much? What?
Mark, how much does Mark make right now?
Like $24 million, something like that.
How much is Horford making right now?
Like 27, but they're not going to make that trade. They want to get younger players.
I don't blame them. I'm saying that's the only logical trade like for me.
Yeah, that's the only way it could work because, I mean, Crowder's not making a lot of – Crowder's making, what, like seven? And well, I guess now that they got Baines signed on and they got Morris, you could package those together, and that would get you close. You'd probably have to throw in Marcus Smart, and that would get you there. But still, like I said, that's like all your depth, like except for your young people and your stars. Like, and
they got, and the Boston, they look decent. They got, all right, you got Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, you got Jay Crowder, you got Marcus Morris, you got Al Horford, you got your two rookie, well, not your two, you got Jaylen Brown, and you got the rookie, what's his name? They just drafted him.
Tatum.
Tatum. They got Jason Tatum.
And he's balling. He is straight.
He is balling. He looks so good out there. I'm like, wow.
Dude, he actually, you know, I heard the comparisons earlier, but, like, I really do – I see it now that I've, like, seen him play. I see it. He does remind me of Carmelo Anthony. Like, young Carmelo Anthony when he came into the league. Like, that's pretty much what Tatum looks like right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I'm like, wow, it's like what used to be. Like, what was, or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be good in like 2 years, probably. He'll be there. You know, he's good now, but he might be even better then. So, Boston, those lucky bastards.
I know, dude. Like, and that's the crazy thing. Everybody, man, I feel like, and for at least partially good reasons, like, they get Danny Ainge gets a lot of props for that trade that he pulled off to get all those picks. But no one saw those picks turning into such great picks when the trade, like, that, like, part of that was just blind luck that it ended up being the way it did, you know? And then to trade to get Isaiah Thomas before anybody knew he was going to be, you know, a superstar. Like, part of it is brilliant GMing, and probably like the other half of it is just like utter stupid luck.
Right. That's true.
But they're gonna look good. Yeah, I think the Hayward addition is gonna help them out a lot long term. And honestly, you know what? Like, I've kind of given this a good bit of thought. I don't think I would make any more trades, honestly. Like,
good boss.
I would keep Thomas, give him that big deal next year. I would probably trade Marcus Smart. That's probably the one guy, because his contract is up at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you don't want to have to pay him and Thomas. And then you just kind of work in Rozier as your backup too. And then, go into next draft and just, you know, hopefully get, you know, two top five picks in the next draft. And then, you know, add those to your roster. And, I mean, you're pretty much just set, you know. Then you just groom those four young players, those four lottery picks that you have. You also have Zizic, who's going to play this year. I think they held off on bringing Yabusele over for another year, but they'll bring him over next year. They just have, like, a lot of good young talent and three capable, solid veterans, and I think you can totally construct everything and build everything around that.
That's true. Boston looks really – they got depth. They're just a little inexperienced. That's all. That's what it comes
down
to.
You know what I think is interesting? If they continue to make the right moves, you know, everybody's talking about waiting out LeBron and waiting out Golden State and all that.
Yeah.
There ain't no guarantee that Boston's not going to be better than both of them in 3 or 4 years.
That's exactly
so
right.
You might have waited out just to see a Boston Celtics juggernaut, you know? That's the funny thing about the NBA and you know, how people can react to situations or maybe overreact to situations. What about Paul Millsap going to Denver? And you know, furthermore, just the whole cycle of that trade. You know, Paul Millsap goes to Denver, Gallinari ends up in
Clippers,
you know, with the Clippers. Yeah. What did you think about that?
It was what did the Hawks get out of that? I forget.
Jamal Crawford and a first-round pick.
That's right. They got the remnants of Jamal Crawford that they just bought out.
Yeah.
And you got a first-round pick. Right? So it was really just a pick, right, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. A pick and, like, $15 million in salary.
Yeah, basically. Since based on the deals that were already there, Paul Millsap was signing before the trade happened. So they just made it a trade. And for our salaries and match for the Clippers and all that extra bull. But Paul Millsap going to Denver didn't make – I just didn't understand why he went there. I guess, that came down to money. And apparently Denver's been chasing him for years now, so I guess he felt wanted.
Yeah, like 2-3 years.
Right, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why, if you're somebody, a Western free agent, why would you go West? I just didn't understand that. And he went West to a Denver team that's up and coming. But they're not there yet. Like, I felt like Minnesota was near there. Minnesota was probably the closest of the young teams to be right there. And Denver's not there just yet, but I guess they're going to have to be soon. I mean, they got Jokic. He'll work well next to Jokic, whatever. And
Jokic.
They got Murray. Jokic, that's right. And they got Wilson Chandler for now, at least. And then they got some good young – they have good players, young players, Gary Harris and all them.
Yeah,
so
I like Gary Harris a lot.
Yeah, they've got a good team. It's just I just don't feel like they're going to do anything there. I think he's kind of wasted his – he's going to waste his time. He's going to get paid, but he's going to waste his time there. You know, that's how I felt. I think in the East he could have made a bigger splash if he went somewhere. Or apparently there was rumors of him going to Minnesota. I thought that would have been a good move for Minnesota, but it is what it is. He chased the money, and apparently he likes where he's at, so I'm not going to be mad at him. And the Gallinari did the Clippers move. Not terrible. The Clippers restacked their deck. They lost Chris Paul, but now they got Gallinari, Patrick Beverley. They were talking about getting Tony Allen. They were going to do the reverse guard setup. They're going to have the two best perimeter defenders in the league out there.
Yeah.
You know, the best offensive guards. That's actually pretty smart. I didn't think about that. That's interesting. And they signed Milos Teodosic, who's a really good European player.
Mm-hmm.
They did. I like what the Clippers did to revamp themselves after losing Chris Paul. So I think for all parties except for the Hawks, who I hope were trying to rebuild anyway, it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it the same way. As a Hawks fan, I didn't want to bring back Millsap, not because I don't love Paul Millsap. I mean, he's been
right.
Our best player now for like 6 years. But that's the thing. That's the best player that we could get is Paul Millsap. And we could never convince anybody to sign to come, you know, play with him. Even in, you know, 2015, when we had all that momentum after the 60-win season, we couldn't get in. Like, I mean, we might have gotten a meeting with a guy or two, but we couldn't get anybody to come and sign with us.
I get it. What happened here with New York? You look with Melo. We have the same situation. Same shit.
Yeah. The biggest difference between Atlanta and New York is New York is a place where it's fucking called the basketball mecca for God's sakes. Like, it's a place where people should want to go play and has a tremendous fan base. Atlanta does not have a tremendous fan base. There ain't enough people out there like me who just like love their team.
Yeah, I know.
You know. But nevertheless, I think it was a pretty good move. My biggest thing is I don't know why I don't know if maybe Gallinari just like made the decision like, hey, I want to go play for the Clippers, like, because all the talks was that Denver wanted him back. I just think it would have been a smarter move for most, at least for Denver and maybe even for Atlanta. Why not just try to work out a sign and trade around Kenneth Faried? You know,
yeah.
and that way they could keep Gallinari and get Paul Millsap, and then they would like then that would be a really good looking team. You know, they would still need a point guard, but yeah, like so that part I didn't really get. I do like Millsap with Denver. I like him playing with Jokic. He gives them the defense. Like when all the talk about the love trade was going on with Denver, I didn't hate it, but. Like, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and, like, Millsap will help them out tremendously with that.
True.
And I really like Wilson Chandler. You know, they've been talking about like, getting rid of him for a while, but I think he's a really good quality player. I think they need
– I miss him.
They need to get a backup small forward, and they need to get a starting point guard. Like, that's the two pieces they need to be
A
really good team. And, you know, I just don't know. There's not really anybody left for them to do that. And then as far as for the Clippers, I just worry about, like, that you got Blake who can't stay healthy. You got Gallinari who can't stay healthy. And if those two guys can't stay healthy, like, that's what their season's going to revolve around. Like, if those guys play 73 games, like, they'll be a playoff team. If they play 50-ish, they won't. Like, it's just that's what it comes down to.
I think another issue with that is Gallinari, as he gets older, he's gonna be more of a stretch forward than a three going forward, you know? So
mm-hmm.
it's not going to work out long term at the three for him there, you know. Maybe small ball. I think that's why it might work out, because of the fact that they can go right into small ball and he can play the four, Blake can play the five, or Jordan can play the five. Either way, they can make it work. But I guess in the beginning it'll be 3-4-5 for them, and that'll be the new big three down in Los Angeles. Or L.A.
Yeah.
team.
And he's 28, but he will be 29 by the start of the season. So that's right around that kind of age where you usually see those types of wing players start to make that transition. We've seen it with Melo, where he's the best.
He's fighting
best
him,
way to get the most out of him is to play him at the four. You know. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And you know, they do have DeAndre Jordan's contract is up at the end of the year. So, you know, maybe they do try to get a cheaper center in and then play some small ball and try to work that in, to kind of make it work. I don't hate it for him. I just wonder if they can keep everybody healthy, and if they can, it should work out. It should be a pretty decent move for them, but we'll just have to see. We talked a little bit about Gay. Let's talk a little bit about Minnesota. So we talked about the Rubio trade. So they get a pick out of that, which kind of, you know, helps them out, because their 2018 pick is scheduled to go to Atlanta so long as they make the playoffs. After basically winning the draft by by getting Jimmy Butler, now they add Jeff Teague and they add Taj Gibson, and now they add Jamal Crawford. What do you think about their additions?
I love it.
Do you think they still maybe need another piece, or do you think this will probably be enough to kind of give some fits for some of those other teams?
Maybe one more piece, but not a big piece. Another role player that can help out. They look good. They look good. I don't know if it's going to work right away, but they look real good. You know, I like what they've done. They filled every position well. They look like they can make noise. If they're healthy and everybody works out the way they at their peak, they could do damage in the West. And it's just a matter of can they gel right away, you know. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But they got it. They got everybody.
That's kind of the way I see it, too. The biggest thing that I feel like they're missing is shooting. But they did add Jamal Crawford, so that kind of addresses it a little bit, even if he's a, very streaky shooter, and he is.
Right.
Nevertheless, I mean, when a streaky shooter's on, you're shit, you're super happy. So, I agree. I like the Teague deal. It's not too expensive in my taste. I think it was $19 million a year, essentially, for three seasons. Gibson,
right.
I thought they maybe overpaid Gibson a little bit, terribly. I think it was he got $14 million, which isn't maybe just $2 or $3 million overpaid. So nothing crazy. Getting Crawford, they got him on a pretty good deal. I think $9 million over 2 years. So about $4.5 million a year. They've made smart decisions, smart calculated decisions to kind of help fill out their roster. I think Tyus Jones is a pretty good backup point guard. So I think I like where they're at there. And because of the flexibility that Wiggins and Butler give you as far as positional play, you can put the two of them in there together, but then you can also rotate either one to the three when you want to rest the other and bring in Jamal Crawford. So that all looks good. And then I guess you start Gibson and then use Gorgie Jang as a kind of a fill-in to fill in between the four and the five.
He's more of a five.
For me too. But they've had to play him at the four because they haven't really had, that person. But what's what's that? That's like eight players. Like when you get into the playoffs, that's about what you want. You want eight quality players. You want an 8-man rotation.
Yeah. True.
And then they have a couple other people who can take on some minutes during the regular season. They got Bielica, I guess is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Bielica or something like that.
Yeah. Bielica. And then they have Cole Aldrich who can, you know, play 10 minutes a game when you need him to. I really like what Minnesota has kind of constructed. And, you know, they did it precisely when they needed to do it, because if they had waited till next year, they have to pay Andrew Wiggins, and then they can't make all these moves. So, you know, this was the year when they needed to do it, and they did it. And you know, the other thing I like is I'm a big Tom Thibodeau guy. I like Tom Thibodeau a lot. I think he's an excellent coach. I think he's probably one of the five best coaches in the NBA. And, he's going to get these guys to play defense finally, now that he's got some of, you know, a couple of his old guys back in there, and Taj and Butler. And I think Butler will be huge in helping Wiggins take that next step. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, with the way that they've put all that together, I think it's great. PJ Tucker, so he signs in Houston. I'm also a huge fan of this move. I think that's like that 3-and-D guy, you know? You're like, every team needs one. They paid him, what, $8 million a year? That's not terrible for you know, his production and what he does, what he brings to the table. I think people like kind of rag on PJ Tucker because other people had decided to call him the LeBron stopper. And ain't like PJ Tucker ever called himself the LeBron stopper, you know, like, I don't get why people rag on him about that. It's not what his doing. I think he's the perfect complement for them. He can play anything between the two and the four, realistically, and plays great defense, a decent 3-point shooter. He got hot at the end of the season for the Raptors, hitting those corner threes, like just posting up in that little corner and just dropping threes. So I think that'll work out great for, you know, Chris Paul and James Harden. If he can kind of hang out over in that little corner, you can hit him with that pass. That's just going to open the floor up even more. Are you as high on the move as I am?
Yep. It's a great move. Not that I actually wanted to see Houston get better, but it's a great move for them. You know, I didn't know what else they'd do next. I know they were trying to get who were they trying? They were aiming at somebody. I think they were trying to get Paul George too at some point. And they're like, oh, we're gonna try. And that didn't work out. And
they just didn't have the assets.
Right. They just didn't. They really didn't. But I think it was a surprise move. I didn't expect it, but I also thought it was a great move. So.
Added some people. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, like, to me is, like, you know, if you want to throw out a, like, super, like, defensive-minded lineup, like, you know, if it's the last, you know, 4 seconds of the game, other team calls a timeout, like, and you need guys who can, like, really defend, you can put – you know, Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, you know, at your 1, 2, and 3 to guard the perimeter, and they're going to do a damn good job of that. So,
Corey Brewer still on the team? I forget.
Do what now?
Is Corey Brewer still on the team, or is he out there somewhere?
No, they traded him for Lou Williams last year.
They did? So where's he at?
Yeah.
He's in L.A.?
Yeah, he's in L.A.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember him playing in L.A. Did he ever play?
I don't think he played very much. Because remember, they were playing all their young guys at the end of the season. They weren't playing anybody old because they wanted to tank.
That's true. It's just weird seeing him on that team.
he just never really worked out for them because he can't shoot. So
that's true.
He can't shoot, and he's a 6'9 guy who can't play the four. Like, he never, like they could never play him at the four. Yeah, he actually plays the two better than he does the three, really.
He
so
does.
even though he can't shoot, he's gone. Tucker move, like, excellent under the radar signing. And then Reddick, and we can go ahead and throw Amir Johnson in there. Both of them signed with Philly on 1-year deals. I love this for Philly. Reddick gives you a shooter, veteran presence, and you know Amir Johnson kind of a veteran presence as well. And you don't tie up
rebounder,
next year's cap space. Rebounder, shot blocker, kind of like you know defensive minded player. And Reddick's just really good quality shooter. Somebody that I think they've been missing for several years now. And I really like the way Reddick plays. Like, he's one of those guys who opens up, like, and is instant offense to start a game. And, like, that's something that's highly underrated, having a guy who can get you, like, 16 points in the first quarter. And then it's totally cool with just, you know, taking a step back and, like, letting the other offense kind of work its way. Uh-huh. And then, you know, maybe score 4 or 6 points for the rest of the game. You know, I think that's like a quality that, that I truly admired about his play, you know, following him when he played for the Clippers.
Right. Totally.
So, I mean, I expect him to kind of bring that to Philly and like, you know, be that kind of early offense for them, you know, at the start of games and then kind of, you know, help, you know, take a step back to let the rest of the players kind of get themselves into position and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just getting two veterans like that, I think is super, super important.
Yeah. That's the first big signing of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that's the sign that it's kind of working. Did you hear any updates on Fultz's ankle injury?
Yeah, I heard it got downgraded. It's now just a high ankle sprain. It's not as serious
That's
as
good.
Everyone thought. Yeah.
That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm happy for him. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, that would have sucked, man. Like, because when I heard the initial news, it wasn't like I didn't hear it from like a cited source, but I know I shared it with you. And, you know, we were all kind of like, damn, dude, like, fucking Philadelphia, man, the curse of the process, like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good to hear. So, yeah, hopefully just rest him for the summer and he'll be ready to go, you know, come October. So a couple more things that kind of stuck out over this process. Free agency, Avery Bradley. You know, they had to trade him to make the space for Hayward. They get Marcus Morris in return. I don't hate this trade. Avery Bradley was their highest paid player outside of Horford. He was kind of like the guy that they had to move, in my opinion, if they were going to get Hayward. The only thing is, and I haven't been able to confirm this yet, but the initial report was that they traded Avery Bradley to the Pistons for Marcus Morris and 2 second-round picks. But I've subsequently heard it the other way around, that the Pistons got Avery Bradley and 1 second-round pick for Marcus Morris. Do you know anything about that?
I'm checking now just to confirm what you're hearing.
Gotcha.
You heard the first time I heard that it was like 2 second-round picks and whatever it was. But let me just check it, make sure.
Right. But yeah, as far as the move though, I kind of feel like this is just a rental for the Pistons. I mean, I don't think with their salary cap issues, I don't think they're really going to be able to re-sign Avery Bradley.
Right.
But I do think it's a good move in the sense that you got Donovan Mitchell coming in, and I don't think you really trust him yet. And so Bradley can step into Caldwell Pope's role, just knock down some shots. He's a much better defender, So he can, you know, help. What's that?
Kennard.
Wait, one more time? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kennard, not Mitchell. They should have taken Mitchell, but they got Kennard.
Right.
But yeah, so like, but he can groom Kennard kind of under his wing. And you know, that I think is a pretty reasonable trade for both sides. I like Marcus Morris. I mean, obviously he's the lesser of the Morris brothers. I would be somewhat inclined to go say, hey Marcus, could you just be your brother for a couple years and let him come play for us? We'll pay you like $10 million more dollars, bro.
That's mean, but I like it.
Yeah. Hey, Marquise is a much better player. I don't know how he's that much better, but he is.
He is. It is only one second round pick, apparently.
Okay, so, and is that going to the Pistons or is that going to the Celtics?
Pistons.
See, yeah. Gave up Avery Bradley and a second rounder for Marcus Morris. So it was like.
They gave Avery Bradley and a 2019 second round pick to the Pistons for Marcus Morris. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. So with that, I don't like the trade as much because honestly, I probably would have rather just given up Avery Bradley for a pick. I had thrown this out there before they picked up Crawford. I mean, I think Minnesota would have been willing to give up that OKC first rounder for Avery Bradley because I think he would have fit in, you know, really, really well with Tom Thibodeau. But nevertheless, like, it's only a second rounder. Not that big of a deal. Hell, it might even be, I think they owned Detroit's 2019 second-round pick, so maybe they just gave them their second-round pick back.
it's possible.
but as far as the Pistons, though, I mean, that's good. Even if you're just renting Avery Bradley, you get a second-rounder out of it, and you get somebody who can play the two.
Can Kennard play small forward?
No. He's like 6'5". I don't think so. There was some talk about him potentially playing a little bit of one.
Yeah, I heard
he's
about
a pretty good ball handler. But no, I don't think he could play small forward.
All right. Well, they're gonna need to
only
find
against
one.
Like a really small ball lineup, like you know when Boston or Phoenix used to do it when they would run like a 3-guard lineup.
Yeah, teams do that a lot now anyway.
Yeah, but I don't know if. I don't know if Kennard could pull it
not
off.
Consistently.
Like, yeah, exactly. He's just too short.
I get you.
And probably not fast enough either. He's white, you know.
Yeah, true. I got to give Stanley Johnson his shot. I don't know what's up with that kid.
Yeah, because he was a pretty high pick. I think he was like 11 or something like that a couple years ago.
High.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely somebody who they need to kind of work into the roster. I mean, I feel like, in fact, at this point, like, who do they got to play the four anyway? Like, I would probably try to move Tobias Harris over to the four instead of playing the three.
Play
I mean,
because
John Luehr can play the four, but I think he plays a little better at the five, and he plays better off the bench. He didn't really play that well as a starter.
No, you're right. Huh? He's a decent player. I like John Luehr. You're right. He's more of a bench guy. He's more of a 4-5, 5-4 guy off the bench.
Yeah, and he gives you quality minutes. Like, he can give you 30 minutes a game because he can play both the 4 and the 5. But, like, he just works better off the bench going against – like, he works better off the bench because he's going against bench guys. Like, he doesn't perform nearly as well both offensively and defensively when he's going against starting quality players. So, yeah, I mean, I think that might be a move because, I mean, Stanley Johnson, you know, they have to – it's kind of, you know, you got to give the guy the minutes before he can, you know, really kind of shine or whatever. So,
I think it's fine.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly I like Tobias Harris at the four. I mean, I think that's the way the league is going, you know, like that's kind of smart. Now they need to just figure out, like, if they can, if anybody will take Andre Drummond's contract.
Oh, man.
Because that is a massive contract.
He's still good.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not bad. You just can't play him at the end of games, which I always hate having, like, when your best player can't play the last 5 minutes of a game, like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
They're paying him like, I think he's scheduled to make like over $100 million over the next 4 years. But he is young. I mean, he's only like 24 years old, I think, something like that, 25 maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still got a lot of mileage left on his tires. So I don't know. We'll see what they can kind of pull off there. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much everything. We already kind of touched base on the Damari Carroll being traded to Brooklyn and all that kind of jazz. So, as far as, you know, what's kind of been going on the past couple of weeks, we covered that pretty quickly, man. Like, I didn't expect us to even get through all of that in the show.
It's crazy. And that's without touching on all the little moves and shit. But there's so much has happened. It's just been insane. It's still going on. This is not over. There's some big news that still need to happen. So
yeah, I think Caldwell Pope is one of those big moves that could happen. By the way, update on Brooklyn. They could sign Pope if he would sign for that like $20 million a year contract. They have $80.6 million on the books. So like a $99 million salary cap, and they have a few non-guarantees who they could waive. Like they have Archie Goodwin, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Kilpatrick, Quincy Acey. All those guys are non-guarantees, so they could waive any of those guys to make room. That's actually certainly a possibility, and then you could be looking at a lineup of D'Angelo Russell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, probably start Damari Carroll, maybe. Trevor Booker at the four, and then I guess you would have Mozgov at the five. So still not a very good team, but a lot better than what they were like the last couple of years.
Got young pieces now because they'll have Caldwell-Pope, they'll have Russell, they'll have Hollis Jefferson and Jared Allen. So they have a nice young core to go forward and try to develop.
And LeVert, I like that kid. Like
and
Caris LeVert. He's played pretty good ball. The only problem with him is the health concern, but they managed his minutes a lot last year. Rested him a lot throughout the season. So I think that's kind of been the plan going forward with him. So, I mean, if they kind of keep that up, you know, my guess is like, you know, he won't have to worry too much about, you know, back-to-backs and things of that nature. So hopefully that'll make it so he can stay healthy.
True.
But you're right. They got some good young pieces that they can certainly work with. And, like, the other kind of cool thing about what they have the ability to do is, you know, with some of these expiring contracts, you know, you got AC for 1.7, 1.5 on Dinwiddie, Harris, and Kilpatrick, and then 1.3 on Goodwin. Like, with all of those pieces, like, you can also take on another bad contract and trade away pieces that, you know, that the other team can just waive and get you some more assets. So like,
sure.
I like what they're doing in Brooklyn. I think they got me jealous over this Damari Carroll trade, man. I'm like, come on, Hawks.
What the F, man?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do something, guys. That's the craziest thing to me, man, is like usually like you kind of have an idea of what your team's like what your team's going to do. And because there's just been all this changeover with the Hawks, like nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Like, no, like, I mean, I think the majority of us assume that we're rebuilding, right? Totally sold on for like over a year now. But like, if we're rebuilding, you would have to think that we would have been in the conversations for that trade. And if we weren't going to take that trade, like, what, you know, what else are we looking at getting, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. I've kind of been browsing around at all the teams that have way too much payroll, looking at like what we could possibly help them out with and get some draft picks with. But there's nothing that's as good as Carroll. Like, as far as he's only 2 years versus all those teams have those 3 year guys that signed last year. And most of them are more guard, shooting guard type players, and we don't need that. Right. So,
but no,
who knows? That's the joy of it, though. So over like the next couple weeks, when everything gets ironed out and we get to do our breakdown of each individual team, you know, that's what's going to be really fun.
That is.
So,
I can't wait.
Yeah, man, me too. Like, we'll see how we're going to we might have to split that into two different shows if we get super intricate like we did with the draft. But, yeah, thanks, everybody, for joining us. It was a fun show, man. As always, Joel.
Yep.
Yeah, as always, man, thanks for being here. It was fucking fun. I love talking basketball. Love talking basketball with you. I'm just going to give a quick shout out to Juwan. He just never showed up.
Juwan, you bum. No, but.
Yeah. Hey, well, at least he set up the show. Like, that's cool.
True. I wasn't
get my
home yet. I should have set that up.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that weird bull. Whatever. He did. Thank you, Juwan, for not showing, but also setting up the show. So he canceled it out. He got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, you at least canceled out the wrong with a right. But yeah, it was fun, man. And full court pressers. I think that's what I'm going to start calling our listeners. Full court pressers. What do you think about
full
that?
Doesn't sound bad. Full court pressers.
Yeah. Maybe until we come up with something better, you know?
The pressers. Yeah.
Did you say what? The pressers?
Yeah, the pressers.
that kind of sounds like it's that. Just saying it like that sounds too close to oppressors. And then it sounds like not such a good thing. It's a work in progress, listeners. If you have any suggestions, send them to us. You can get us on Facebook, Full Court Press, and you can get all your up-to-date information on there as well, whether it be trades, whether it be signings or anything else. Everybody out there, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Oh, by the way, I think we're going to be moving, as far as I can tell, permanently to Monday. Starting next week, obviously tonight's Monday, but we've done a lot of Sunday shows. Because Game of Thrones is back.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah.
So Monday it is.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Joel. Thanks again, brother. All right. And we'll see y'all again next week.
No doubt. Next week.
Indeed. All right, everybody.
Peace.
Take it easy.
Later.